Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Hello everyone and welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters of FancyPantsGangsters.com, and it's one of them shows.
Hey, we have news this week, we have new releases.
It's a action-packed show.
And we have a special guest.
We do.
We're missing explosions, though.
It's an audio show.
Yeah, where's Ashley? Speaking of explosions?
She's not very explosive.
Oh.
If you poke her. Sometimes.
She'll get mad.
You poke most people, they get mad. But anyway, We do have Ian.
Hey, how's it going?
We also have Mike.
What's up?
Once again, drinking my beer.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I did let you take it.
It goes with that
fine.
Hipster theme that apparently I was outed as on last week's show notes that I read.
Wait, why did we out him as a hipster?
Because I went to go see
He went to go see a folk band. Yeah. So
apparently I'm a hipster.
It's hard to get more hipster than that.
Yeah.
And taking the coveted fourth chair... This week.
The virtual fourth chair.
In this case, it's virtual. The one and only, and you'll have to remind me what your last name is, because I just know you as Sean from Xbox Live Indie Games.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Sean Doherty from Freelance Games.
You see, I like it when you're just all of Indie Games.
Yeah.
You're from Indie Games.
I totally represent all of Indie Games.
Very good. Right.
Even all of the controller vibrator games.
Especially those.
All right. I love how those are advertised, too. That's my favorite. It's just like, oh, you can play with a friend over Xbox Live. It's like that.
All right. Worst Kinect experience ever. Or is it the best?
I'm waiting for that game to happen. But
soon enough.
Actually, Sean is in charge of Freelance Games, which, among other things, created the Trailer Park King series, which we've talked about on the show a couple times. Mr. Sean, would you like to tell people about Freelance Games and your vast catalog at this point?
Well, our vast catalog consists of three games. We basically started in 2010 with our debut release called StarCon. So that's pronounced Star plus Con. Didn't do really well with that game. It was more or less a space shooter. From there, we went over to the Trailer Park universe and released Trailer Park King for Xbox Live Indie Games. It was one of the 50 top downloaded Xbox Live Indie Games of all time, so it did relatively well. And 5 months later, we followed that up with a sequel, which was called Trailer Park King Episode 2.
And that's done as well or better or...
That has not done as well. It's done well, but it didn't get... I think my opinion of Trailer Park King was it was sort of like the first game of its type. And with Trailer Park King 2, we tried to do more of the same and make it sort of, bigger. But we didn't really go unique enough. So I think in the next iteration, when we go with Trailer Park King... Episode 3 or whatever it may be called, we're going to pull out all the stops and do some things that hopefully nobody's seen before.
Now, StarCon, was that also an Xbox Live indie game or?
Yes, StarCon was an Xbox Live indie game. It was more of a getting your feet wet with the with the Xbox Live indie games and the marketplace, sort of understanding the market, understanding what types of games sell. More of a learning experience, I'd say.
What was probably the biggest lesson you took from that one, from the first game?
Don't make a space shooter. the space shooter marketplace on Xbox Live Indie Games is pretty tough. We spent quite a long time getting the game out. I think, it was... We're sort of working at the time as well, and probably spent, it took a year, I guess, for that game to come out, and it really just didn't hit expectations at all. I mean, it was very cool and whatnot to see it on the console, that sort of thing, but from a sales perspective, it just didn't really do well. Trailer Park King was a game that was, I'd say, polarizing. So people either really thought it was funny or they were turned off by it. Whereas StarCom was kind of, you know, middle of the road where nobody was really too turned on by it. Nobody was really too turned off by it. So I think that's not where you want to be.
I guess I'm curious to know about the backlash of Trailer Park King. You said there were some people who were really turned off by it. I mean, and I could arguably see why, I guess, in certain circles. But yeah, I guess tell us about the feedback you got on that.
Well, we got polarizing feedback on that. So we had a lot of people that were, you know, thought it was really funny and they loved the game, those types of things. And then we had some people that just really, this is not a game for me. They didn't appreciate the sense of humor. And the, you know, there's a bit of a double standard when it comes to mature games or anything that resembles sex, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay to make the game as violent as possible, and that's called, what's the word for that? Mainstream?
Right. It's called mature, not pornographic, though.
But as soon as you, like, there's no nudity at all in any Xbox Live indie game, but as soon as you sort of push the boundaries there a little bit, people tend to get a little bit more offended. I don't know. It's always been that way, and it probably always will be that way.
Indeed. So now, how does one get into indie game development? Like, you know, how did you guys get started? What was your background before starting to develop for XNA? Can you share some of the experience around that?
Well, I started development for gaming, I guess, back in probably 2006. And actually, back then, I was working on a version of StarCon for the PC that never quite got released. It sort of got shelved for a long, long time. And then when we decided to get back into it and really focus on this, say, well, this is something we want to do, basically we continued on from there.
So what advice would you have for some listeners here that may want to get into game development?
Well, I'd say from an Xbox Live indie game perspective, it's sort of at a crossroads. It's really unclear what the future is going to be. So I'm not sure that I'd advise them to go there right at the moment until that's clarified. It may be better to, you know, to get your feet wet over on the PC market or go to, you know, the iPhone, Android, those types of things.
Is that something you guys are thinking about doing or bringing over Trailer Park? Because now Trailer Park King, that's an adventure game.
Yep.
Kind of a dialogue-heavy adventure mm-hmm. game. That would seem to be a fairly obvious transition over to, you know, at least tablets. Is that something you guys are thinking about doing or...?
Yeah, we've already started the migration. It's a slow migration because essentially it's going to be rewritten in a new technology. It's going to be rewritten using Unity so that it can more easily go cross-platform, so that we can go to, you know, to the Android, to the Mac, to the iPhone, to the iPad, all at the same time, essentially.
Very cool.
And we're working on a new game. And what we're going to do is take the engine from that game, port that over to Unity, and then sort of map the Trailer Park King game on top of it.
Now, the new game, is that Trailer Park King 3, or is that a wholly unannounced title?
It's been in playtest for one week, only the first act. It only has a sort of a tentative, more of a developer name at the moment, but I'd say it's a spin-off of the Trailer Park King universe, but because we need more in that universe.
We totally do.
But it's in a new setting with a new main character, and all of the majority of the majority of the minor characters are also brand new.
So your friends from the first two games make appearances in the third game.
Yeah, there's some cameos.
Nice.
So, okay. And one of them, the king, makes a pretty heavy cameo. But right, it's not going to be called, it's most likely not going to be called Trailer Park King in any way.
So I guess tell us the inspiration for Trailer Park King, because it's kind of a unique experience. I know when I did my review of it, I kind of compared the humor style to that of Leisure Suit Larry, but obviously we've never seen a, you know, at least I've never seen a game featuring a you know, somebody living in a trailer park whose aspirations is to be the lord and king of said trailer park. So I guess tell us where that comes from. Is that
I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, there was some inspiration from the Trailer Park Boys show itself, you know, of course. Mm-hmm. And there was I had some interest in developing a, you know, like a point and click adventure, and I wanted something that would tell a was really focusing on telling a strong story, and you know, I mean, in a bit of a more of a different way. I think Trailer Park King was one of the first or at least few games to have, you know, full, pretty good voiceover. I mean, some people will debate that, but I think overall it was pretty good voiceover. And, you know, we tried to make it as high quality as possible for, you know, the sort of a comedy type game.
Very cool.
Indeed.
Nice. Now, you mentioned that, you know, the whole kind of ecosystem of Xbox Live and Xbox Indie Games and all of that is kind of unclear, I think was your term that you used. And now we had a rumor this week about possible changes to Microsoft Xbox Live. The former, I believe he's former, he updated his resume on LinkedIn, but the group product planner Praveen Rutnam listed on his accomplishments as developed strategy to further monetize Xbox Live subscriber base that will be implemented for holiday 2012. First off, is that kind of what you're talking about, or is that, or and do you know anything as a much vaunted top 50, you know, indie developer? Do you know anything, and is that, do you think that is related to some of the unclearness or the what
uncertainty?
Thank you. That's a much better word than unclearness.
Unclarity.
No, that's still dumb. Please help us here.
Well, I doubt it's related to Xbox Live indie games directly. Microsoft is more or less not. It's not really been a very big focus, I guess, for Microsoft. They've been moving away from it more and more. Even though there's been, you know, I guess it's pretty clear to people that follow Xbox Live indie games that there's been a lot of, you know, Minecraft-inspired games on the service that have done very well, you know, in the tune of millions of dollars. So there is some money coming out of the service, but I think Microsoft is trying to broaden their horizons and make money on as many streams as possible. Like, you know, for example, they're focusing more on media, Netflix, and those types of areas. So I would probably see that as being the area that they expand into further next year.
Now, does the article give us any hints as to how they anticipate the further monetization to be?
Well, this is a Joystick article that we're looking at, and they do have a couple conspiracy theories, I guess. Because
I love conspiracy
theories. Well, it's a vague statement. It's like, we're going to help monetize.
What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. That is marketing BS talk, yeah, is what that is. But, you know, some of the conspiracy theories they talk about, one is one we've talked about before, about getting rid of the Microsoft points and just going like a Sony straight dollar amount.
I don't know how that further monetizes it, though.
Yeah, that seems to be a
like
bit...
You're still getting money from people. It's just, we're calling it a different game.
Yeah, you just... Yeah. Well, you see, my thing is they're going to do that and then like secretly raise the price on everything and hopefully nobody does the math.
But right, that doesn't work because like 800 points is 10 bucks. So if like 800 points became $8,
they're hoping nobody remembers that. It's just mass amnesia.
800 points becomes 12.
Yeah. Who 800 knows?
800 points becomes...
Okay, New Coke.
It becomes $5.
I'm going to start calling you New Coke, Evan.
Hey, you know, there are worse street names out there.
It's not going to be a street name, though.
That's not my gang name?
No.
New Coke?
No.
I could make that work. Just watch me.
Keep reading the story.
Let's see. Some of the other conspiracy theories they have said that a console-based online pass, which that's called Xbox Live.
Yeah.
That's gold.
Maybe a weekend pass, like $3 for the weekend.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't imagine. To me, it sounds like they're more going to be adding more services, kind of like what Sean was saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're going to make them like pay-per-view. I mean, it'll be kind of like, you know, they've already got stuff like HBO Go where you have to buy. It's not free like the Netflix is, or even Netflix. You got to pay the outside
Xbox
service.
Xbox Live After Dark.
Well, I think the Zune Marketplace is what they call it still, where you can do music and movies, has largely, I feel like it's fallen kind of flat, because I rent a fair number of digital movies and I never think to check the Zune Marketplace. I'm like, Amazon, iTunes, like those are my two go-to places.
It still baffles me the fact that they have that marketplace named after a device that they themselves killed.
Yeah.
Too. Like,
and I think it's kind of hidden, so maybe the monetization is just making it more front and center how easy it is to go watch a movie on your Xbox.
In my mind, when they call it Zune, it's just Microsoft trying to you know, mask the fact that the Zune was a huge failure. And doesn't exist anymore.
Like, so. This is our brand. You know, kind of like Google Play now. Yeah. On Android devices, where their marketplace is now bigger and does different things. So they're going to rebrand it, and they kind of did the same thing with Zune.
Yeah.
I must have been the only person on the planet that thought the Zune was actually a good device.
The Zune was actually, like, use of it was pretty cool.
The second time around. The first time around, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible, yeah. But... The second iteration.
You always forget your first.
When your big feature is called squirting, that's just really...
I'm going to squirt you a song.
Yeah, don't squirt me nothing. Yeah, keep your squirts to yourself. Yeah,
there's a whole genre of that, you know, out there, right?
Well, that, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that.
It's just those have weird domain names.
Well, but no, you know, there was a story a few months back about how there was some porno channel or company had... built an app for the PS3, and I think it was like either just Japan or just Europe or something like that, but it was something you could set up just like Netflix or HBO Go or any of that stuff.
Oh yeah, I remember. I think IGN did a thing on that.
They might have. I don't know. And maybe that's where they go. Maybe it's just a big, you know, a
porn?
Different revenue. Really, what else do you got left?
What was it when Hugh Hefner left his daughter in charge of Playboy? What was the first thing she did? Buy hardcore porn. None of you got no.
No, no, I don't.
Yeah, so okay. So history goes is when Hugh Hefner stepped down from Playboy, he put his daughter in charge of the company, who at the time I believe was involved in a lot of the women's rights movements.
Okay,
and the first business action he had was to buy the Spice Channel.
Was Spice Channel hardcore?
I
never watched it unscrambled, so I don't actually know.
From the A&E biography I watched a few after, this is what I learned.
Is it like the equivalent of what's the like XNA or ECA whatever to WWE?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That was just alphabet soup. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Shit, I just...
Are you talking about Spanx?
So my theory is porn...
I have no idea.
You got nothing?
I think they're just going to further nickel and dime people for everything, you know, just like they kind of do.
They're raising Xbox Live to $80 a year.
Everything has a cost, right? And I think we're going to see the further fact that DLC is going to become a big standard for games as we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And even with, you know, Legends of Amalur, we saw the online pass for a game that had no online components. I think we might see further things like that.
I can see that. Maybe a standardization of the online pass?
Maybe, which actually could do the industry quite good of this is how you deliver it, this is how you sell it, this is the code structure for it.
I think that's going to be the only solution that they're going to come up with to their war against used games.
Well, that could be the other rumor, because there was the rumor that the next Xbox is going to somehow have like a registration system.
That's going to be the only way they're going to do it without everyone burning their studios down. Now, they'll still, if they do that, they'll still have a...
There'll be a couple fires here and there.
They'll still be 80% of Reddit will be screaming like, you know, spoiled children, but...
Yeah, but it's Reddit.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think Sean had a point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can see them going to something like, you know, like a cable company or satellite companies where they've got packages. So, you know, so they've got their platinum package and that allows you to access Netflix and, you know, HBO and two other services that you choose. I don't know. I'm just guessing, right? It's totally a rumor at this point.
Yeah. Which is, it's kind of the fun stuff.
I actually like that because like things like HBO Go, like I have to go through HBO Go and same with Netflix. I mean, they're kind of the same animal.
What's weird about HBO Go is you actually have to subscribe to HBO.
Well, that was my point. Yeah. You got to go through the second thing. If you could buy all that through Xbox,
yeah,
like that could be where they're going. where it's just one bill.
I would love if they did more with TV. Like, if I could buy ESPN through Xbox, I would love Microsoft for that.
Can't you already buy the UFC fights through Xbox Live itself?
Yeah, but I'm saying this is just a continuation of that idea.
Okay.
I don't want to have an account. I don't want to have a $12 a month bill at HBO and an $8 a month at Netflix. I want to have a $20 bill from Xbox.
Yeah. And while I complain about, you know, the further nickeling diming, it's not that I don't want to pay for stuff. Like, if I had the option to give, you know, Xbox or Microsoft $5 for ESPN or $12 for HBO, or kind of buy some of these channels, a la carte model, or, you know, maybe even a package style, I'd be very interested in that, as long as it was, like, not the current cable package is, like, $60 for everything. It's like, I want to... a little bit more granularity in how I pick my content.
The problem with that is, and it's from what I have looked at in crack research, is the reason that you buy those bundles and you're paying for all this crap that you don't is that you're actually subsidizing for these, like, shit channels that three people out there watch.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and that's the point of it. If you're going to go to the a la carte model, which is what 95% of everybody wants, you know, present party included, you're going to lose. There's going to be the small minority of people who are going to be like, well, where the hell did, you know,
Victory Channel?
Where the hell did Eastern Orthodox Christian TV go to?
They go to Roku.
Well, a lot of them are on Roku right now. There's a lot of religious stations.
I know, it's amazing. I almost bought the Mormon channel just to see.
Did you get a Roku then?
I did.
What do you think of it?
I enjoy it so far.
I think the way to get around the subsidy problem is you just have to charge more for the channel. So if ESPN has a market value of like $5, maybe you have to charge $7.50 for it to still make up for the loss of not getting the whole package.
Who knows?
And the market will dictate what you can actually charge for those.
The Hunting Channel, 50 cents.
That might actually be worth it.
Having watched The Hunting Channel, no.
Didn't Jared Allen have a program on one of the hunting channels where he was just like hunting crazy game?
I thought he did, maybe.
Punches lions.
Yeah.
Jared Allen, lion puncher.
Dude, that'd be intense.
I would actually watch that,
too. I would watch that.
So, we got new releases.
We do. And there's actually some stuff this week.
What?
It was pretty easy. I think the big one. Now, Evan, you were big on the first game, and I believe you played the second game, Witcher 2 Assassin of Kings.
That is the second game.
Right. But this is coming on 360 for the first time.
Yeah, it's been out on PC for over a year.
Yeah.
I own the second one. I have not played it yet.
So, first impressions on the first one?
I enjoyed it. It's very, very PC. So, I'm kind of curious the things that they changed.
It seems
to
be doing fairly well in reviews right now, like high eights, high nines. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I mean, it's a great game, but it's one of those where the way it does controls and things like that, at least in the first game, like I said, I haven't played the second one.
Yeah.
In the first game, it's very PC-centric, and although it'd be one of those where it's just kind of slow. Like, that was the big thing that I took away from Witcher, is that it's a very plodding kind of story. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's just a different way of telling the story. But it's a... I'd be more curious, because one of the big things in Witcher 1 was sleeping with people.
I think that's still a thing.
I'm just wondering how nude they can get.
Nude?
Yeah, because if you sleep with someone, you get like a trading card of them. Don't ask me why, but you get a trading card of them. And
that's like Vegas.
No, you get that before you sleep.
Yeah, you get the trading card, then you sleep with them. That's the way that works.
Oh. I must have been doing it wrong.
Yeah. Never mind. Gotta get them all.
Wow, that's terrible.
It was. Like, I was like, oh, you're Pidgeotto, and you're Pikachu.
What the hell is wrong with you?
You have an interesting way of naming whores.
Yeah, I gotta do something.
Name all your whores after Pokemon?
I do.
Ones really fuck with my head get called Mewtwo.
Sigh.
There's so many jokes there, and I just... There's, you know, Ghastly. Like, that seems to be obvious.
I'm glad I know nothing about the Pokeverse.
The Pokeverse. All right, anyway. I think that's the alternate name for Vegas, actually, too. The Pokeverse. Pokeverse. Yeah. All right, just move on.
Moving on.
But by the way, The Witcher is good. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not.
If you're a Western RPG fan, if you like the Elder Scrolls series, or the Dragon Age Solar series.
Yeah, the first Dragon Age.
Not the second one.
No, I mean, but this isn't turn-based or squad-based. It's single person. Yeah. But yeah, probably the closest would be, imagine a slower, kind of a weird mix between like the Elder Scrolls and Kingdoms of Amalur.
I was going to say, don't say a slower Elder Scrolls.
No, it's like a slower Kingdoms of Amalur with a little, with like a sprinkling of Skyrim and stuff on there. So
I want sprinkles of Skyrim. Anyways, moving on. The next one is Trials Evolution for Xbox 360. That is an arcade title.
Four-wheeler.
Yeah, it was like
a four-wheeler.
I think it's like motocross.
It's like motocross, but that, I mean, I played the first one. I have it.
It was a huge game on
the arcade. It was huge, but holy fuck, are they like way accurate on the physics to the point of it just being like...
I think that's the trick. I think that's why people...
Like fucking with your head because you're just like, my God, I've got to land this... I'm loaded it thinking, okay, Excitebike.
No, nothing
at all.
You never load a game thinking Excitebike unless you're loading Excitebike.
You know, if... The problem is you do that with every game.
No.
You know, you download L.A. Noire, you were expecting Excitebike. Maybe that's why you were so disappointed with it.
You know, if L.A. Noire had some element of Excitebike in, that would have been the best game ever.
It probably would have, yeah.
I think they should go through and repatch it with just some sort of, like, shitty 1940s motorcycles, and I'd have a blast.
What do you mean shitty? Have you not seen Indiana Jones? Those motorcycles were awesome.
Well, they're not, like, crotch rockets or
well, that's
big,
true. Sean, pro or against Excitebike?
Actually, I haven't played Excitebike. Sorry, guys.
So now the next question kind of leads us into our next game is, where do you stand on the PlayStation Vita?
I usually try not to stand on mine.
Not you, dummy.
Yeah, oh. Our guest, Sean.
Our guest.
We know how you stand on it. You want one.
I mean, I think a lot of people are very supportive of it. It's just, you know, it's early, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think of the podcast, I'm the one fool that picked one up, and I'm definitely excited for the next title with this Jaya 3, Absence of Detention. I've never played
Absence of Detention?
Unless I copied it down wrong, that's what I wrote down on my
Well, note. It's a Disgaea game, so that's entirely possible.
Because
but,
doesn't it happen in a school?
No, you're thinking Persona.
Yeah, the Persona.
But Disgaea is extremely Japanese, so Lord knows what the titles translate to, so...
Horse semen.
Jeez.
Not that kind of game.
Right,
What's wrong with you?
We need to clean it up a little bit. Let's bring the level
of... We have company.
Let's raise the level of discourse. Fair enough. But as a huge fan of like Final Fantasy Tactics and those kinds of games, I'm definitely thinking about picking this one up before my next couple trips here. So
they're one of those games that you can drop 400 hours in, no problem.
Oh, good. I love those games.
Oh, you're unfamiliar with the Disgaea games?
I only know it's a strategy game. Like
it's a strategy game. If the previous games, like I had Disgaea 2, and every item is upgradable, but you upgrade them by entering them and fighting a battle.
Fighting a battle against an item.
Against, like, the spirit of the item.
Okay.
And, like, items can go, like, 200-300 levels deep. Like, literally, no, you can... It is not unheard of to drop several hundred hours into these games. It's just one of those. It's the game for people with no life, and
oh, it's your game.
I got sucked into it. I'm not gonna lie, but
so this is why you probably only played the second one.
Yeah, and they gave us the preenies, which are exploding demon penguins, and frankly, any franchise that gives us something like that,
yeah.
Mr. Sean, will you be working some sort of exploding animal into Trailer King 3? And if not, may I suggest that?
We may. I'm not sure what, though. Do you have any suggestions?
If it's a trailer park?
Yeah, raccoons.
Raccoons.
Raccoon.
Or a skunk.
Are raccoons populous in Canada?
Skunk. We actually had skunk and raccoon. Do we have raccoon? I can't remember. Raccoon, porcupine, and Trailer Park King 2, but they didn't explode. So there's a possibility.
Now they have their chance for their cameo.
There you are.
Next on the list is... I'm going to screw up pronouncing this because it's like Dracula plus Botanical, so it's like Botanicula.
Okay.
It's a PC Mac game. No idea what it's about, but actually looked pretty cool.
Bloodthirsty plants?
No, but it's not like Dracula. It's like some kind of, I don't know, I punted on the research on this game.
So it's like Twilight.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, God.
That's what we're saying.
Next on the list is one of the, I picked it up on... Xbox, I believe, arcade was Burnout Crash. That is coming to the iPhone. Burnout Crash was a lot of fun. Mr. Beat. Goddamn Mr. Beat. The House of the Dead 4 for PS3. Deadliest Warrior.
They're still making House of the Dead games?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they're only on four, and you're still thinking they're still doing it. Dynasty Warriors on 18.
They've also done like the ones like House of the Dead Overkill, which wasn't actually
which throws
numbered.
The numbers off. Yeah. Bastards.
It's like 3.5, whatever.
That was years ago when I was in high school. I worked as an aide at a daycare. And it was school-age kids.
They let you around them?
Oh, yes.
This was before that incident.
And we went to the Mall of America for a field trip. And it was like after school. It wasn't like a, you know, trust me, there was no redeeming value to this.
You were there.
It was basically. And I had third to fifth grade boys. That was my group.
You took him to the arcade?
We took him to the arcade. That's all we did, the entire field trip. We basically went to the arcade. And
you gave them a sock full of quarters each?
No, they had to pay for themselves, but I sat there and I played the original House of the Dead, and that's the only arcade game I've ever beaten. Because we sat there the entire afternoon, and like the kids were like helping me out.
Like, they were
warning me and stuff. It was a bonding moment.
Nice. Next is Deadliest Warrior Ancient Combat 360 and PS3. And next, I think,
is this like the third iteration of Deadliest Warrior?
They don't put numbers on them. They just put subtitles.
How are they still... I mean, I guess if you were a fan of the Bushido Blade fighting games...
That which was a solid fighting game.
The only those are nothing like Bushido Blade.
What, the Deadliest Warrior ones? Yeah, they are that one-hit kill...
Can
nonsense.
You do
that? Yeah.
That's
the big feature in the Deadliest Warrior games. That's the thing that annoys me.
Maybe I'll have to try those.
Is you can be playing against somebody and, you know, take their health bar down to 3/4 and they're like, oh, I just want to hit killed you. And I'm like, that sucks.
Next are two fairly big titles, you know, start off big and end big. Super Monday Night Combat for PC.
Woo!
And Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP, which is an iPhone, iPad game that did fairly well.
Boo.
It's coming to PC.
Oh, okay.
And I believe Mac.
Would you say those games were super?
Both of them are super.
Fair enough.
They're the only games on the list that have super in the title.
Nice. Now, I'm a big fan of Monday Night Combat, even though I haven't played it in a while.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a online kind of like a first-person shooter.
Yeah, it's third-person, actually.
Yeah, it's third-person, but it's all
like
arena-based.
Team Fortress 2, right?
Yeah, it's class-based. It's like a futuristic game show where you kill people and you can shoot the mascot for good money.
What was the NES game? Smash TV?
Yeah, Smash TV. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's a little bit of a blending of that in there, too. Maybe not as over-the-top as Smash TV is, but...
It gets fairly over-the-top. I mean, you're not having, like, Hitler on a tank.
Right. They do need to add that.
Yeah. It was just Hitler's head, if
what
I remember.
What about Cat Hitler on a tank?
Cat Hitler?
I'm unfamiliar with Cat Hitler.
I just made it up.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes me feel better. I felt like I was missing
out. No.
It's the internet. It probably exists.
That might have actually been from the Fox show New Girl. I don't know. I'm really kind of sleepy right now.
Or
so.
Bill O'Reilly.
Probably not that, but...
No. Probably not, no.
What, Cat Hitler? It could be.
Yeah, let's just move on, shall we? Before Sean just like, God, these guys are morons, and just hangs up on us.
Well, we are.
So, one of the big rumors, this is kind of a rumor-heavy show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much the bulk of it's going to be rumors.
Yeah.
Can we start a few?
Sure.
I haven't thought of one yet.
Okay, think about that. All of you, everyone here, think of a rumor that we can try to spread on this, no doubt, highly listened-to show. So, a couple things have been filtering out of the Valve camp. And it all started last week where an entry was found in a... No, not that.
It was a job posting. For Valve looking for a hardware engineer. And I believe the job description promised some exciting things and full commitment or something like that. It was like a weird wording to it.
Yeah, it was basically like, do you want to forge the future of hardware gaming or something? It was something really kind of vague and kind of silly. Which, of course, fueled the whole Steambox rumors that you know Valve's going to do a console and it's going to do this for us and
none of the games will go past 2.
Huh? What?
Never mind.
It seems like all of your sentences are like one one word too short today.
Sorry. Sorry. That joke goes from the thing of how everything in their franchise seems to go to the first game, the second game, and it never makes it beyond that.
Well, they just do episodes.
Yeah, like Half-Life 2, Left 4 Dead 2,
gotcha.
Portal 2.
I'm with you. Okay.
So,
we're caught up now.
Sorry.
That's all right.
So kind of along the lines of Valve-specific hardware, I mean, essentially, I think if it was anything other than a sub PC or a mini PC, we'd all be kind of surprised, I think, or some specific version of the Steam platform, but running a lot of the Steam games. So a while ago, we talked about the Alienware like sub $1,000 mini computer.
Yeah,
Wired did a review of that, and they basically said it doesn't suck. They got like a.
Now, how's that for a review? Right?
I think it was like a pretty solid review. Like, if you don't want a full gaming desktop and you want something smaller, remember at the time getting excited about just like the sheer number of Steam sales and how you can go on Steam and get like, you know, randomly within the next quarter, Skyrim will be on sale for $30 to $33. Can pretty much guarantee that. And basically, you know, for I think it was $700 of the base price, the Wired reviewed one that was $1,000. And they said, like, for £12 for, like, a LAN machine for basically moving around your buddy's house or just something light and you'd want to have a PC gaming, like, it performs really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, I think, to put PC games in the living room to some form.
Well, it sounds like that's a great idea, but that on further review... That doesn't sound like what they want to do.
No. Really? You're going to call me a liar and then I'm wrong?
I'm not going to call you a liar. I'm just saying you're wrong.
Fuck.
It's a subtle difference. It's
subtle shades of gray. Yeah.
So there was a blog post earlier this week by a guy named Michael Abrash, who is, among other things, kind of a smart guy. He kind of knows his stuff with games. He's done a lot of stuff with Microsoft, was one of the Valve guys from the very beginning, and also helped create a little game called Quake.
What's Quake?
Is
that like with the Quaker Oak guy?
No.
There should be a game feature for that guy.
We can only handle one stupid person on the show at a time here.
All right, I'll smart it up.
Smart it up. Here, buddy. And if I just want to, for our listeners' sake, I'm speaking of Mike, not Sean.
Right, Sean's the smartest person in the room.
Sadly, and he's not even in the room. He's calling us from Canada.
But
I believe.
He's here virtually.
I suppose we don't have holographic versions of him yet.
But we do have Tupac here.
Exactly.
That was awful. Anyways, let's continue with the story.
Sean's the smartest one of us because he's just being quiet, just letting us be stupid.
I'm waiting to hear what your argument is for this.
As are our listeners.
So
continue, sir.
Anyway, so it sounds like what they're trying to do is they're experimenting with what Michael Abrash is calling wearable computing. And before you get all crazy, it's not a Pip-Boy.
God damn it.
I know you want one.
I know.
Strap a PDA to your arm with duct tape.
Or Pokemon.
It's not Pokemon based. Or what's the? I was just gonna ask you guys what a Yu-Gi-Oh thing is, but look who I'm asking. No one.
What's a Yu-Gi-Oh? We like sports and we've been outside.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was low.
I just want to know what that Yu-Gi-Oh arm thingy is where they keep all their cards.
What about an Omni tool? Is it that?
No, it's not that.
Sonic screwdriver.
No, it sounds like they're actually building on ideas similar to like the Google glasses.
Okay.
Which were a form of kind of I guess you could call them alternate reality kind of idea where it's overlaying computer information, you know, on reality, and they're doing some experiments with this. They want to the quote says, by wearable computing, I mean mobile computing where both computer-generated graphics and the real world are seamlessly overlaid in your view. There's no separate display that you hold in your hands. The underlying trend as we've gone from desktops to laptops to notebooks to tablets is one of having computing available in more places more of the time. The logical endpoint is computing everywhere all the time. That is wearable computing.
Holodecks.
Holodecks aren't wearable.
No.
A super nerd... I have a hard time getting excited for this.
Really?
Yeah.
How? I guess.
I don't know.
I don't get it either, to be honest. I don't understand what...
I don't want a laser blowing shit into my eye.
I do think the Steam Box is a great idea, though.
Yeah. Agreed. Make that.
Make the Steam Box. Don't make holographic Tupac in your living room, basically.
But I think part of it might be is that since none of us have any experience, I don't think, any kind of wearable computer, and our best view is probably from the like those old Discovery shows in the early 90s where it was like a huge headset which looked like it weighed 5 pounds, like essentially the Virtual Boy strapped to your eyes.
Oh, I've done those before.
Yeah.
Those are kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, but they're big and bulky, and I guess when I think of like a little like sleek thing coming off the side of my head, I don't know. I can't fathom it yet. I need to see it. I need to feel it. I need to experience it before I believe it.
I think you have to drill it in,
dude. Yes,
is it gonna be like the Matrix?
Yeah, plugs. You connect it permanently. There you go.
I wish I had a USB plug.
Or like...
on me, in me.
Or like the comic The Surrogates, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
Well, that would
not
would
the
be
movie.
One of...
I want nothing to do with that movie. The comic.
See, the thing is, the comic wasn't that great. But
it's better than the movie.
Well, that may be. That may be. I still have not seen that movie, but...
So, Sean, you think a Steam box in the living room or kind of a smaller device that's more affordable to bring PC gaming to everyone would do well, you think?
Yeah, well, my thing with PC gaming is that I do most of my gaming after I'm kind of tired, mm-hmm. and a lot of it, to be honest, in the bedroom. So, I mean, I really want to sit down, use a joystick or a gamepad on a large TV and sort of sit back on the couch sort of thing and do gaming. So I think Steam is positioned perfectly to do that. I don't know why they don't move in that direction.
And what was interesting, I remember seeing an article, I wish I would have sent it to you guys, but I didn't have the foresight at the time. It was something about how Steam has like pulled off the miracle, which is making games cheaper while making the developers more money. And it's like that old adage of like, you know, to make more money, you have to charge more per game, and you keep hearing that they want to get more and more revenue out. But by having these epic Steam sales, I mean, we go on and buy, mm-hmm. you know, $100 worth of games over their kind of twice a year sales.
Games that you probably will never get around to playing.
Which it doesn't matter because you're buying the games and you're giving
the developer... Yeah, once you buy them, they don't care what you do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're giving the developer the support and all that, and they really pulled off the miracle of allowing people to get games cheaper and allowing developers to make more money, mm-hmm. which I think is like one of those really cool things. And if you look at like the Steam box idea, it just furthers that model.
I think it's partially because Steam is so exclusive. It's difficult to get your game on Steam, and you really don't know if you're going to be on Steam until your game's done, submitted, and you know they've accepted you.
Really?
So they don't have a large market like you know, like the iPhone, where basically, you know, anybody can develop a game and submit it, and it gets, and you know, it's more of a, I guess iPhone is more of an open market, even though it's closed to certain things, but it's more open. But Steam is very closed.
I think from a game making point of view for the iPhone, it's like, as long as your game isn't like, you know, pornographic, and it doesn't crash the device, I mean, I think you're probably gonna have a pretty easy time getting in there. Where it's interesting you say Steam is closed, because I think, you know, all of us have a pretty huge affection for Steam, and it's kind of interesting hearing the indie side of it.
Well, most indie developers I know, if not all, want to get their game on Steam, right? Mm-hmm. And they only select a very small percentage. So, yeah, I guess the argument is they keep the games that are, you know, they don't flood their market with, you know, for example, they don't flood their market with 20 first-person shooters. Maybe they only have, like, you know, the five top or something like that.
Do you think that helps aids Steam's perception of quality games?
It definitely does.
Sweet.
It's definitely, you know, I mean, you know that if a game is on Steam, it's generally speaking a higher quality game.
Yeah, it might not be the best AAA or, you know, the best game ever, but if you download and play it, I think we were talking about this earlier, is like there's a certain perception of it's going to work, it's going to be playable, and it's going to be, to some degree, enjoyable.
That perception of Steam, like, I think a lot of people assume Steam is more open than it is. Because, I mean, that's always the argument when you get into the whole Android versus iPhone, is that, you know, Android, you can do whatever you want, it, you know, it's free, and iPhone is, you know, the iron glove that keeps the man down. And then you hear something like this, where it's like, Steam is actually worse, but everyone loves Steam.
Why do you say that? I don't think it's worse. What do you mean?
Oh, you don't think it's worse? Okay, I guess I got the impression that it's worse than iPhone.
No, it's just more challenging to get on there. I mean, it would be nice if there was, you know, if there was a more open way to determining how you got on Steam. I mean, essentially you apply and wait, and nobody really understands whether you're supposed to hear back from Steam within you know, a week, 2 months, or sometimes never. It seems to be very variable when people hear back. So, I mean, it'd be nice if they'd sort of fix that, where it's like, okay, when you apply, we'll give you within 6 weeks or whatever, we'll let you know one way or the other, that sort of thing. But
yeah, setting some expectations kind of nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is funny, because those are exactly my complaints with iTunes in terms of podcasting.
No expectations?
No, that you can't get anything from them in terms of communication. Luckily, I found a contact, and now they're less annoying. But you know how that goes, I guess. So the one thing that amuses me about this, the whole wearable computing thing, is that everyone that they've talked to from Valve basically says, don't expect E3 this year that we're going to debut something. Even if we do something, which we don't even think we will, like this is basically just research. We're just seeing if this is possible. We've got no plans to sell this. We've got no plans to ever bring a product to market. It's just, we're just basically doing this because we got money and we're curious.
We're doing a little R&D, like a bored. Good company should do, right? Like, we're going to do some research.
Yeah, and it's funny because you never see a company like Valve doing something basically just to see if it's possible. Like, even, like, the console makers, like Sony or Nintendo, like, they're not just doing stuff just to try things, or at least not publicly. Like, they don't tell you what's going on. Like, we always find out about some of their wacky ideas years after the fact, like somebody finds like a patent document or something like that. But you know, Valve is very upfront, like, we're doing this because we're interested in this frontier, not because we're interested in packaging this in a way that we can then sell to people.
Yeah, you don't see too many companies like Valve, period, though.
There's that. Well, we did have a story about ME3, but you know, I think that's something we can talk about maybe next week or something, because I am intrigued by the whole Better Business Bureau thing, but
I think it'll be interesting to let the story mature a little bit more.
Maybe. Let it age like fine wine.
Or fine cheese.
Wine cheese.
Yes. But definitely there is some stuff on ME3 coming out more about the ending and more about kind of the legal impacts or the kind of just the different impacts from different agencies. And I think it'll be interesting to get those when we get more statements from everyone involved.
That's right. So we're going to put that off for now because we got actually a lot of different games to talk about.
And the first one I want to bring up is Fez.
Well, before we get to Fez, our special guest.
Yes,
don't be so rude.
God,
Ian.
You guys make me feel a piece of shit or something.
You are. You're a terrible person. And we've got Sean here, who's nice enough to come in and be the smart one of the group, which is a very important role.
The statesman of our of the group.
Yes. Mr. Sean, are you playing anything right now?
Actually, I am playing L.A. Noire.
I'll shut up and let you talk about your thoughts on it then.
Mike has a huge hatred for that game.
I don't fully understand that game. Like, I don't know. I thought it was supposed to be a lot better. It got great reviews, but it feels like, Grand Theft Auto, but sort of like a lot of the good parts sort of filtered out. I don't know. I spend a lot of time just driving from point to point, which is actually interesting. But, I mean, why can't I stop and get a hot dog? I can do that in Grand Theft Auto. And the other thing about the game is, man, is it boring walking around just getting clues? I mean, holy God.
The worst thing, you have to do like the rotation and wait for it to just vibrate. It's like,
the favorite part when you're doing that is especially when you're like, oh, I've got somebody's head in my hand, a dead body, and I'm just kind of trying to move it around and figure out, oh, if I put it to this weird angle, I can see a key in the lady's mouth or something weird like that. But it's kind of morbid. You're sitting here like, rotating her head. Come on, do something. Okay.
I think if you do it too much, it actually comes off.
Well, I was hoping maybe I could like make her talk or something, you know, move the lips after a while, but no.
I think they missed it.
This was not a slapstick game.
Should have been. That would have been awesome. Should have been a mode like after you finish it, you can just play it again. It's like New Game Plus, but funny.
Mm-hmm.
Or
make the game better.
It's
new
right.
Game Plus.
I take it you haven't gotten close to the end yet then, have you?
I'm getting closer, but there's, to be honest, the missions seem like they're so long that the back, and I don't play straight, so I find like the backstory, I'm not really understanding it at all. Like, I know
have you gotten
something
to,
about a war going on?
Have you gotten to the bizarre plot twist yet?
I only got by the first part where I had to track down the serial killer guy. That was it. As far as I've gotten. So I think I'm in Vice now.
Okay. All right. So you're not
quite yet.
Yeah, you're just right before the weird plot twist.
The weirdness.
The weird plot twist that really is the bulk of my hatred of that game comes from.
We're not talking about that again.
No spoilers warnings for
it. It's not, nothing to do with spoilers. I'm just sick of hearing about it.
Yes, and my current partner has something to do with it because he looks kind of suspicious. So I'd probably investigate him.
Grab his head and
grab his head.
Grab his head and keep turning the angles for a while.
He's like, dude, stop it. Come on, stop it. Now, we kind of mentioned this in passing, but you're Canadian.
Right.
And we hear, and I don't want to make this sound like you're so far behind us because you're still playing L.A. Noire, but, is there, you know, we always hear about how games are released on this day in North America, or in the U.S., and, you know, X day in...
Australia,
it's like 4 years later.
No,
games in Canada are released the same day.
They are, okay.
The only reason I'm so far behind is I spend so much time developing and not enough, and I don't have enough free time to play games that I just don't have the time. So I have this backlog of games that I've got $60 games that I've bought that I've never played yet because they're just basically backed up.
That's the worst when you get really excited for a game. You're like, I'm going to do day one purchase of this, and then, like, you know, work in a day, and you just sit that work, and you're like, oh, okay, I could have bought that for $30, you know, a month later. Just like I did with Space Marine.
Yeah. Which I'm glad you're finally getting to that. Maybe we'll have to do some multiplayer or something like that, because I still have my copy.
Well, I feel like now that I'm doing the Rogue Trader campaign with you, I want to learn a little bit more about the 40K universe.
Yeah.
I realize this is probably loosely related at best.
It's close.
At least you get a sense for the scope and size and kind of what the creatures look like.
How far are you in Space Marine?
I've only played like an hour.
Okay.
It's a fun combat system.
It is fun.
I heard a lot of people hate on the, you have to stun people to get life back.
You know what? That gets easier. That becomes less of an annoyance.
It's such a great mechanic though, because like, it's basically you get to see badass animations.
Yeah. The only problem is later when you're just getting swamped, it's, I'm going to move in slow motion, but nothing else is. So it's like, I'm just going to get shot up while I'm being all cool looking, and then I end up dying, and the extra health does nothing for me. So, but yeah, so Sean, you're just doing the L.A. Noire?
Yeah, and to be honest, I find myself, I play a lot of like arcade games, like Xbox Live Arcade, just because they're shorter, and they're easier to get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I usually play at least one RPG at a time and work my way through that. And in the meantime, I play a lot of, you know, the other games and stuff. Like the Trials Evolution is a game that interests me because I played the first one, you know, and I know that everybody's, I don't want to jump around too much, but I know that everybody out there is playing Fez right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Everyone's playing Fez.
I'm not. I'm the one person out there who hasn't.
Well, Jeff just about had a heart attack this morning when Evan sent out the thing like, yeah, I want to talk about Fez, but I've only played the demo.
Well, we can talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know you're not playing Fez, Mr.
No,
Mike.
No, I'm not.
So what are you playing?
Well, actually, just put out my review for Diabolical Pitch. That's the new Kinect game. It just came out a week or two ago, put out by Suda51. And his
should we talk about that?
We did not. No.
We did not. Okay.
No.
How is it?
You know, it's, so as I said in my review, it's a really fun concept. It does something different with the Kinect. It doesn't have any longevity to it whatsoever. It is literally an arcade game that for one, your arm feels like shit after about an hour of doing the same repetitive throwing motion.
Now you know how Lariano feels.
Right. Except I probably could pitch better than he could.
Why must you poke the bear?
What? It's a Twins reference.
I know. Don't mention Minnesota sports to Mike, because then it just goes down this rabbit hole
of hatred.
Yes.
I like how you're going in more of a rant than I would have.
Well, I'm more pointing this out for the future.
He's ranting for the sake of the rant before the rant starts.
That's right.
Rant. Pre-ranting.
I'm anti-rant. Or something.
Anyways. No, I mean, it's a lot of fun as an arcade-type thing. I mean, you can definitely tell it's a Suda51 game, because it's just bizarre, and most of what's going on in there as far as the plot line and just characters in there are just like, what the fuck? As it is in the case of like games like Killer 7 and No More Heroes and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it gets very repetitive quickly. It's like,
it's basically just a pitching game.
Right. I mean, all the boss battles, it's just like, okay, just throw at the right time at the boss and do it enough times and then you beat the boss and go on to the next weird area.
Now, do you play as Randy Johnson?
No, you play as some guy named like McAllister, who apparently, so the plot line of the game is that you're like the greatest pitcher ever, and you're playing in like the championship game before the World Series, whatever, and you blow your arm out at the last pitch. Like, you cannot throw anymore, and your arm is just completely, like, you can't even move his arm anymore.
Well, that's a good way to go out, though.
Yeah.
The last pitch of the World Series.
Well, no, this is the before the World Series.
Oh.
Like, to get to the World Series.
Oh,
so his career is essentially over, and he's all like, super just like, oh, well, life sucks.
I'd sell my soul for a pitching arm.
Kind of sort of a weird thing like that. And then he gets in this car crash and wakes up in, I cannot recall, it's like Queen something's dreamland, where you got this dude in a cow suit, or like in a suit with a cow head, who's all like, oh, hey, here's a magic arm that you can pitch again. Oh, but by the way, in order to have the magic arm, you have to defeat these evil armies and get to this castle. And you're like, oh,
it's a common story.
Well,
we all know.
Okay. And yeah, so I mean, it's fun, but it's not something that's, you know, it's not something I'm going to be playing next week. So I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you've got the points to burn, I would recommend waiting until it gets on sale. You know, it's like all, like my complaint with all Kinect games, it's either a bad Wii ripoff or it just it's almost there. It had the right idea. It just didn't execute it enough for me to keep interested.
What was your favorite Kinect game so far? Because I've played a number of them, and the only one that sticks with me was really the exercise game. I forget the name.
Is that the
U-shape Evolved?
Yeah, U-shape Evolved.
Yeah, exactly.
That is toying on you. I have that, and that yeah, wow, that really does get you physically going. I'd have to say
it's a bit picky, though. I find.
Oh yeah, it's definitely it's like, no, you have to do it perfect or I will yell at you.
I kind of want to get Dance Central too.
It has to be a toss up between Dance Central, which, I mean, it does enough different that it's not a Wii clone, but it, you know, it's a great game nonetheless.
It's an evolution of the Just Dance series.
And I'd also have to say Gunstringer. That's a lot of fun, and the mechanics for that game are very intriguing. And that's one of the few games that had a weird idea, and it was actually able to pull it off and do it effectively. Like, I go back to a game like Haunt, for instance, was another Xbox Live Arcade game for the Kinect. And it was an interesting idea, but it's just, you're playing it, and it's just like, you have to physically, like, walk in order to move your character, and you're just like, well, this is weird. I'm walking in place, and it wasn't very receptive to your movements, and I heard common complaints in Rise of the Nightmares as well. I never got around to playing that, but yeah, I heard common complaints that trying to move your character around was kind of awkward.
I bought the I forget the name of the game, but the game with the big balls.
That
Gears of War.
Maybe they all have big balls. Let's see. You know the TV show that
Wipeout?
Yeah, Wipeout.
Yeah, Wipeout.
And I bought it last year, and I had my arm was broken at the time, so I couldn't play it. But my kids played it, but they only played it for a day, and that was it. So,
well, it's kind of like what you were saying, Mike. The games have no longevity.
Yeah, that's the big problem with them, is that they're all very gimmicky, and I wonder if that's just, you know, we're getting used to this new sort of, you know, you are the controller BS. I mean, maybe if this becomes something as a long stay, maybe they'll find a way to make these games have a little more longevity. But the problem is that, you know, like my complaint was in Diabolical Pitch, is that after about an hour, I mean, your shoulder is just like, shit.
Well, you can have longevity and still, in, you know, still be able to play in short bursts.
Right, but it's just like the way this game is set up. All in addition to that is also, it's just, it's very arcadey, and just there's no real substance to it after. Well,
everything I've been reading about Steel Battalion is that it makes really good use of the Kinect while
that game might cause me to buy a Kinect.
Okay, I thought you were shaking your head like I was like talking
about that. That was like, oh my god, that makes me kind of verklempt just thinking.
Yeah, I am
about
a little
it.
Sad at the they canceled the Gears of War Kinect game.
Oh.
That was that has been officially shelved. So, although,
was that Gears of War Fitness? Is that
No. It was just, I don't
I would play Gears of War Fitness. Just saying.
So you can be like Marcus steroids.
Yeah, so it's, just neck exercises. Right.
It's just two syringes.
Wow.
No, although you did hear that they patched, or they either they have or they are patching Skyrim to have voice commands.
Voice commands, yeah. So that'll be that'll be this summer, I want to say. Yeah, yeah. Like that.
So, I mean, which will actually probably cause me to go get Skyrim again and finish playing it.
But yeah, Steel Battalion, that's kind of what, ever since the Kinect was announced, I'm like, I want the Kinect and the controller experience at
yes,
the same time.
Yes, exactly.
And a lot of people have played Mass Effect 3, now as someone who's never played Mass Effect, they said that the voice control stuff that the Kinect introduced was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's what I've heard as well. No, Steel Battalion, it makes total sense that that's the game that really starts working with that.
Yeah.
Because the original one, which I think was like Xbox, like
OG.
The original Xbox?
Yeah, OG.
It had a custom controller that was the size of, you know,
a minivan.
It was like, you know, the size of like a medium pizza. Okay. And it had levers and buttons and flip switches. And it was basically like the cockpit of a mech.
Yeah. It was like two joysticks for doing the.
Yeah. And it looks awesome. Like, I saw the first trailer for it, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to buy an Xbox and rearrange, or not an Xbox, a Kinect, and rearrange my living room so that I can actually play this game. And I'm going to be walking. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be walking around and shouting stuff and shooting stuff. It's going to be awesome.
This like is the most everyday
active.
Life.
So. It's going to be the most active
Now I'll have feedback to that. Not whereas now I just walk around the bus stop making pew pew noises.
Now you'll actually be shooting missiles.
No, I'll be shooting things in real life, sort of. So
you're the crazy guy at the bus.
That's me. That's me.
Well, all right then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the other game I kind of want to try out with the Kinect support is the Tiger Woods game. Apparently, I've heard a lot of people have played that, and it's been very receptive to that with the Kinect support. But I would like to see them do more with that with all of their EA Sports titles.
Yeah.
I think we're just now starting to see the developers catch on to what you can exactly do with a Kinect other than like these quick kind of, let's get them out, let's get some titles supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
And really just enhancing gameplay. Like, even with Forza 4, you can do the head tilt so that when you move your head, you know, the...
That would drive me insane.
Yeah, I don't like that at all in Forza, actually.
I have yet to try it because my couch is too far back and I can't track my head from that far back, so... One day I'll put a chair in front of my TV.
Something, yeah. All right. So before we get to Fez, because I end up playing like 7 games this week, weirdly enough.
I think I played a lot of the same demos you played too.
Yeah. So, but before we get to demos, I for some reason decided. Well, actually, I picked up Alice on Guzex. No, I didn't buy it on Guzex. It was on Target clearance not too long ago. It was like $12. Now, Alice, the Madness Returns, which is the PS3 sequel to the
PS3 360.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, did that one actually come with the original Alice or
the PS3 one did?
Mine did.
Oh, they had one on Xbox too? Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So I went ahead and I downloaded the original, and I've been kind of bouncing back and forth between the original game from like 1999 and this one. And it's one of those where, first off, the original Alice game controls like a drunken sailor.
The camera is just atrocious.
It's terrible.
It's
absolutely terrible.
I guess I don't recall it being that atrocious, but...
Well, because it was PC only when it first came out. Mm-hmm. So it was used to kind of a... it was used to mouse and keyboard. It might have even just been keyboard at that point. I don't even know if there was mouse to that. But the more I play Alice Madness Returns, it seems like that was the game that the first one should have been. And I realized that they were hamstrung by the technology at the time, but it was just one of those where it's like, in terms of how they can do the art that they want to do and how they can do the interaction that they want to do, it seems like this is finally the game they wanted to make. So I'm just kind of poking at it. I'm not really. It was more of just kind of a distraction because I got Prototype 2 coming next week, and that'll be pretty much all I play for a while because it's been getting really good reviews so far. And I really dug the first one. Like, people that hated the first one are loving the second one.
Oh wow!
So
the Assassin's Creed did it.
Kind of, yeah, I guess.
To turn that into a verb.
Yes, and is it creeded or cred?
Assassin's
Creed?
No, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I like Creed. That works. But see, what all the demos did I play? I played Shoot Many Robots, which is the kind of Contra Metal Gear style game mixed in with a little Team Fortress because it's 4-player online co-op.
Is it side scroller?
It's a side scroller.
Okay.
And but the big thing is you shoot mini robots, like the title says, that gets you money, which you then can use to unlock more weapons and costumes and things like that. Like right now, my current loadout is just from the demo. I got a 10-gallon hat.
Those are important in robot.
They add 10% to your health. So yes, it is.
It's a 10-gallon hat.
It's a 1% for every gallon.
Yes, exactly. I also have a backpacker's backpack, like a hiker's backpack, which lets me have extra ammo.
Not to be confused with other type of backpacks.
Well, I meant like a hiker's backpack.
Oh,
no, so you were just not like a school backpack.
You were just
like a steel frame backpack.
Backpacker's backpack.
Yes. And then I still have the standard pants. You can buy different kinds of pants, but I can't afford any of them yet.
What about the fancy pants?
I couldn't tell.
Did you write them?
I will.
All right.
But Shoot Mini Robots, it was fun, but if none of my friends buy it, I really don't see buying it. It's one of those games where I just think the novelty of playing it by yourself just wears off fairly quickly, but it's something that I think could be a lot of fun in a group. You know, and it does have up to 4-player online co-op, which is cool. So it could be fun, and it's got a nice little style. It's almost like a Borderlands kind of style, the kind of cel-shaded, but it's also that kind of post-apocalyptic hick mentality. Like, the big thing at the beginning of the game is your character gets his house blown up by robots, and then his car is blown up, his truck. So after a while, he continues down the way, and he finds an RV, and he's like, it's a house and a car all together. And so the whole game is basically you in your RV. So yeah, it's that kind of weird.
I thought you were going to say, like, his house blew up, his car blew up, then his dog left him.
Well, that might be in the full game.
He writes a country song about it.
I'm sure he will at some point. So play that. That was fun. I played Splatters.
I didn't get into that game. I saw a lot of positive buzz, and it kind of fell flat for me.
It would totally work as a mobile game. Like I think it needs to be a tablet game. I don't see it really working as an Xbox Live game. It's basically like
Angry Birds.
It's Angry Birds in terms of how you're flinging things at other things, but there's this kind of artifice behind it where you're like putting on a show. So you're trying to do it in like the fanciest way possible.
With a top hat.
With top hats.
And a cravat.
Yes. But yeah, you're flinging things and you're trying to, like, you know, do tricks in midair and bounce off other things and just do it in the most stylish way possible. So it's kind of an interesting little twist on those kind of games. But yeah, I think that was fun, but I'm not going to buy it. If it comes out for tablet, I'll totally buy it, but not as an Xbox Live game, I think.
Very cool.
I also played Skullgirls.
Yeah, I played that one too.
And I played about 30 seconds of that, and I realized
I'm awful
at fighting games. And according to the reviews I've read, the tutorial is really good. But as someone pointed out in the comments of that review, it's like, if you suck at fighting games, all the tutorial will do was tell you why you suck. It won't necessarily make you better. So,
yeah.
So it's kind of like my mom.
Anyway, no idea. I was like, do I make a suck joke there? Do, like, what do I do there? I don't know.
He just made your mom joke about himself.
I know. You're confusing. You defy humor, Mike. It's a skill, I admit. Yeah.
The art style of Skullgirls was really interesting,
though. I love the art style.
It makes me want to get into fighting games, but I know that, like, I have Tekken and Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Combat for fighting games.
Capcom.
Right now.
You said Marvel vs. Combat. This is correcting you.
No, Marvel versus
Capcom.
Yeah, Marvel vs. Combat. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's Marvel. It's like you play Gandhi and you're trying to get people to stop fighting. It's Marvel versus Combat.
Is it like Spider Gandhi? If it's Marvel.
Spider Gandhi.
Gandhi mixed with the Punisher. I don't know.
Mahat Magneto. That just sounds like I'm coming on to Magneto. That's no good. Anyway, it was very cool, but yeah, I'm really bad at it, so I'm not even going to try. That's the American way.
I feel like that's your motto.
That is.
I'm bad at it, so I'm not going to try.
If I can't do it perfectly without trying, then I'm not going to try to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
That was deep right there.
They have a few Kinect games for you.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. sure yeah, they
you
do.
You can play that, the double...
Sitting on your couch and driving one? I forget what it's called.
Oh, the Kinect Joyride or whatever the hell
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, that's it. You just sit there.
Nice.
Yeah,
you just sit there and...
Can totally do that.
Pretend that you're driving.
I do that on the bus all the time, too, actually, so... Yeah, I'm just making diesel noises.
That's a good game, Kinect Bus. You just sit there and watch the scene.
Kinect Desert Bus.
Kinect Desert Bus.
But you're not driving. You're a passenger.
You're a passenger. I like that.
How's that for a...
Add that to the vault.
An impromptu unknown multiplayer game where someone gets assigned to drive and everyone else is a passenger, and your Xbox locks in that mode till you're done with the trip.
Till you're done. I like that.
That's actually going to be the new Double Fine game.
Yeah.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. That's what you donated
exclusive
millions of dollars for.
Yet another gaming show exclusive.
Yeah.
Double Fine's making Kinect Desert Bus.
Multiplayer.
Multiplayer. Drop in, drop out multiplayer. And then the last game I played, I think, I'm just going through my... Oh, no, I played a little Legend of Grimrock, which we talked about last
week. How was that?
I don't know yet.
Once I saw it was in first person, I lost all interest in it.
Really?
I want it to be top down.
Yeah, I could see that.
Once I saw first person, I just...
Yeah,
I
it's one of those where I can tell there's a good game in there. It's just one of those where it's... It just seems to be missing just a little bit of... Not polish, but just, like, there's not as much pizzazz to it, I guess. Like, the combat's really... It's visually kind of boring. Because you're a group of four people, and you're moving through this dungeon. And the combat is basically... Only your front two people can actually do combat. So you put your fighters in front. And to fight is you basically just click on the weapon and there's like a sweeping animation and then a number that says how much damage you did. Like, it's kind of visually uninteresting.
So it's like Final Fantasy 1 in a way?
Kind of, yeah, except first-person dungeon crawler. So it's like, imagine Skyrim without being able to see any of the weapons.
Huh.
Yeah. It's like, I can tell that it's very old school. And in fact, they actually have an old school mode where it turns off the auto map. So it actually says, like, if you turn this on, get graph paper. Otherwise, you will get lost.
Game for Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff, our map maker.
That's trying right. to map out Zelda.
Yeah. But I can tell there's something there that I'm going to
enjoy. There's something special there. You just have to work on it.
Exactly. It reminds me a lot of Stonekeep, which was an old Interplay game. It's very similar to it.
Enter who?
God, fucking
they made
children.
This game called Fallout.
They also made MDK and MDK2.
They did. They did.
Mm-hmm.
Good series. But yeah, it's very very reminiscent of Stonekeep. But it's intriguing. I'm going to pick at it a little bit more, I think.
So there's not all quit in you. There's a little go.
No, it's one of those where...
you know it's there.
One of my big metrics for a game is, do I want to play it as soon as I get home? Because I don't have a ton of game time during the week. You know, most of my game time is from like 5 in the morning on Saturday to about, you know, 10 or 11. And so if I want to play it as soon as I get home, that's like the ultimate, like, okay, this is a good game.
You wake up at 5 in the morning on Saturday?
That's somewhat late for me.
You're broken.
Yes. Oh, you won't get any argument from me on that score.
5 a.m. is sleeping drunk time.
Yeah.
I might still be drunk at that time.
Lately, it's been more 4:30.
You're like my grandma.
Yeah, he is like the elderly.
I'm very elderly. Yes.
Soon he's going to be doing commercials about diabetes medication.
No, or diapers.
It has more to do with the fact that I have animals that pee on things unless they are fed, and they want to get fed at 4:30. So we haven't quite synced up the schedules quite yet.
You should send a message to their PDAs and let them know.
Bastards. Fucking little bastards. Anyway, sorry. I'm not bitter at all. But no, I've been playing Fez. Or sort of playing Fez, apparently.
So, you've been playing the demo.
I'm playing the demo.
I was absolutely cracked up. So we actually, you know, we joke about how we don't do any production, but we actually try.
We do.
We try our hardest. And Evan sent out the message, well, I've been playing Fez. And our mm-hmm. friend Jeff is on the thread and is like, oh, you've just been playing the demo? How the hell are you going to talk about this with just playing the demo?
And it's funny because it sounds like he was making, like, just starting fights to just be stupid.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I think that was his intention.
Yes, it was.
But we started talking, and it sounds like the demo is, like I said, either the best or the worst demo ever, because it doesn't reflect the actual game that much at all. Like, it gives you the basics,
mm-hmm.
but it's more like, if all you played was the demo, which is what I did.
And I actually bought the full game and I've played probably about an hour, half hour into it maybe. Okay. A little bit of it. More than probably an hour.
Yeah. Sean, did you say you were playing this too?
I've played a little bit of the demo.
Okay.
But everybody I know right now seems to be playing that game, this game.
So when you go to
almost exclusively.
So when you go to your Xbox panel, it's not Netflix. It's actually a game now. Like your social panel in the Xbox.
Yeah, watching a TV show.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, if I look at my quick launch bar, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
It's Netflix.
Yeah. Now it's at least Fez. At least there's a game.
At least there's some Fez in there. Yeah.
Well, no, there's games there, but I mean, because of Xbox Live indie games, I have to play test a lot of those games and do peer reviews and that type of thing. So a lot of different games get played, but they're not necessarily the games that I'm playing exclusively.
Yeah.
So I kind of bounce around a lot, I guess.
Nice. But apparently, yeah, the demo, it's just like a weird slice of the game that doesn't have a lot of the actual game in it.
I'm guessing it's going to give you a good idea of the mechanics. Like, you have to rotate the world to get your platforms lined up so you can make your jumps.
Yeah, but you don't get any of the real kind of in-joke stuff. Like, there's not a lot of deciphering that you have to do, at least the parts that I've done.
Jeff is going, like, to a whole another level than I am.
Oh, he's hardcore.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of funny because apparently in one of the levels there's a QR code.
I haven't found any of these yet, but I've heard.
But he doesn't have a smartphone, so he actually asked me if he could... Send me a picture of it so then I can QR code it on my smartphone.
And send him the link.
And then send him what to do after that point, because he's old and weird. But it sounds like there's all this other game that isn't part of the demo. So that's what I say. It's either the best or the worst, because if you just play that and know nothing about it, it's a terrible demo, because the demo itself, you just get like the basics and you don't really see kind of where this can go. Or it's an awesome demo because it gives you enough, and then you look at what your friends are talking about it and what the media is talking about it, and you're like, where the hell is this awesome game? And you end up buying it just to see what the hell these people are talking about.
Well, I think one of the big things that came out when you and Jeff were talking, I don't want to ruin the moment, but just within like kind of the first little bit of gameplay, there's a what I consider to be one of those truly special game moments. One of those things that really just grabs you and like grabs your attention and gets you to kind of sit up straight and be like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not in the demo, which is like kudos on them for not putting that in the demo, because I think it's one of those things that when you actually sit down for real and you want to play this game, it's one of those things that's fun to have that moment and being able to continue proceeding with the game. And for me, it's what the hype going into this game and pretty much everything lining up for, I'm like, you know what? It's 800 space bucks. I'm just going to throw it down because I'm pretty sure I had that lying around in change in the account, and I'm just going to start playing it. Because typically with arcade games, if I try the demo, I don't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on this. It's one of those where it's like, I can see this making me nuts, because there's a lot of collecting, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. There may or may not be a map in the demo. I don't know, because I was complaining to Jeff, like, I don't know how many, like, if there's still stuff to find in these particular rooms. And if you look at the map, it apparently tells you, but I didn't even know there was a map.
Yeah.
So it may not even be in the demo. I don't know. And judging from what I've heard so far, it's entirely possible that there's no map in the demo.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things about Fez is I feel like a lot of arcade games or people made games made not necessarily made to be AAA, you know, on the Best Buy shelves, try to be really challenging and try to really amp up the gameplay side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about Fez is that it seems really approachable and there's no penalty for dying.
Oh, okay.
Like, from best I can tell, like, you can stand on a cliff and just repeatedly walk off and the little guy will appear right back on that edge.
I like the little guy.
He's adorable. He wears a cute little hat.
Is it a Fez?
It is.
It is a Fez.
There's meetings.
That's also not in the demo. No,
he doesn't have the Fez.
I'm kidding. No. But it doesn't explain the demo. Like, that was the thing. Like, I was reading a review and they're talking about how, oh, you know, you're gifted this magical Fez that lets you do this. It's like, when you start the demo, it's literally you walk out, you've got the Fez already. There's a little glowing dude that flies down.
The Navi, if you will.
Yeah, the Navi of the game. And he says, look, I don't got time to go over this. Just all you got to know is universe is collapsing. Find the yellow stuff and that's good enough. Like it's almost like the demo knows it's like a rushed kind of thing. Like it's one of those things where it's incredibly artfully done. Like it's done in a way that is kind of cool and kind of hip, I guess, for lack of a better word.
They want to leave you wondering. I don't think they want to expose the magic of the game.
It's from a developer perspective. I know it's really hard because you want to put as much in the demo as possible so that people will buy the game. But at the same time, you want to kind of hold back those things so that, you know, that they're there in the game. Same thing with trailers when you're trying to, you know, it's really tough, especially with the indie side, because you only have 8 minutes to sell your game.
Yeah, definitely.
But you're liking Fez.
I'm liking it. I think the big thing that makes me come back for more, makes me think about it, is that no penalty for death. I hate when it's like, I feel like, to maybe call back to a weird analogy, new Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo DS. Huge penalty for death, right? Like, it was hard to accumulate guys. The game itself was punishing. And you'd get to points where just like you could only save twice a world. So pretty much a huge penalty for death. Then you look at new Super Mario 3D Land for the 3DS, and they went the opposite direction. It's like, if you fail a level so many times, you get the invincible Tanuki suit and can pretty much fly through the rest of the level. And like right now in that game, I think I have 35 Marios. Like, definitely no consequence for death. You can save at any time. And that's what I kind of like about this game, is that it's still extremely challenging. You still have to work your way through the level. But like when you look at a tower, or you're trying to kind of climb up through a tower, getting up halfway might be really hard. And if you all of a sudden die, it's kind of nice to not have to restart that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of those things that I've always commended the Call of Duty series for, which is frequent checkpoints. You know, it's one of those things where, like, it's going to be a punishing game, it's going to be a challenging game, but we're at least going to checkpoint you frequently so that if you do end up dying, there's not a huge penalty to that.
I can remember playing, I think it was the first or second Splinter Cell on the PC.
Oh, my God.
And I can remember saving every 2 seconds at certain parts.
Yeah, control us.
Well, I actually ran into that with Alice because, you know, that's an old PC game from, like, 99, 2000, and there were times I had to play like 20, 30 minutes again simply because I took one wrong step and I killed myself.
Yeah.
And it's weird, like, playing those games that don't have the autosave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you don't
Skyrim really autosaves every 30 seconds, it feels like.
Yeah.
Now, and then, like I said, the nice thing in Mass Effect 3 is you just have a button just autosave now.
Yeah.
Oh, but by the way, here's a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. In L.A. Noire, go back there for a minute. Does that game only save once you've completed the entire mission?
No, you can save during a mission.
I think you can save during a mission.
You have to manually save, though, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't think you could. I was like, I know some of those missions are pretty long, and I was playing through the whole thing just to get the autosave.
I actually don't know.
I think
you
can do
that.
Manual saves.
Yeah, I think you can.
I've had a couple, like, mid-stride, I quit.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those interesting, like, the penalty of death. Like, does no penalty for death mean that the game is not challenging? Like, what's it kind of say about gameplay? I think that's an interesting way to think about games, is just that. Because I think we've gotten to a point where forcing someone to replay a level or multiple levels or even, like, a half hour of gameplay, people, like, it's very easy at that point to put the controller down.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have so many other things at our disposal that we can go do with our time, especially, I think, you know, as, you know, we get older.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, that's a half hour of my time. No. Now,
were you a PC gamer at all in, like, the mid-90s, early to mid-90s?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay, so, like, did you ever play, like, you know, like, playing games like a Sierra game?
I never played those,
versus,
no.
Okay. So, the nice thing in those was that, for instance, like, you have a game like Monkey Island. There is no option of dying in a game like Monkey Island. In fact, if I remember right, one of them in the later series, or maybe it was the first one, I can't recall now, makes fun of the idea of dying in a game. Like, I think there's a certain point where you can fall off a cliff, but and like, it comes up with one of those old Sierra screens, like, oh, you have died, you wish to, you know, load, restart, whatever. And then Guybrush Threepwood jumps right back up, and apparently he hit a rubber tree, and he's like, false alarm.
Nice.
But in the Sierra games, it was such a bitch, because it was like, if you at any given moment, if you didn't do X thing in a certain amount of time, or if you did it just wrong, or just at the wrong moment, you would die. And you'd be sitting here, over and over. I remember specifically there's a part in Space Quest, the first one, when you're dealing with the Arnold Schwarzenegger like robot, and you have to push over a pulley, and if you don't do it at the right time, and by that I mean hitting the space bar, typing in the command, throw pulley or push thing, whatever, to hit this robot, if you don't do it at the exact moment, you're sitting there for the next 45 minutes continuously doing this over and over and over and over, and it just gets annoying.
Some games you unfortunately they have the autosave and that's in place, but you can still get stuck in the environment. So you know what I mean? Like if you're walking along and the next thing you're sort of stuck in a wall and you can't get out.
That happened to me in Skyrim. I got autosaved into a wall. And it's like one of those things where I was very glad that because I've heard of Bethesda's bugginess, I was saving every 5 minutes, basically. Like, okay, yeah. I cleared a room, saved.
That was the moment that had me rage quit New Vegas, actually, was going into the mountains to find the Great Khans, and my character just randomly fell through the mountain, and it decided to autosave. And I'm like, you're freaking kidding me. And I had made the mistake of not saving, so I lost about 2-3 hours of progress, because I was in the middle of just randomly hunting down the giant bugs, the cazadores. So, yeah, that was fun.
But yeah, Fez is definitely, I would recommend the game based on the experience I've had. Now, I haven't played much of it. It sounds like Jeff is a huge supporter of it.
And yeah.
We'll convince Evan to get it too, so you can give a report next week.
I might get it. It's one of those things where I don't know if I have time. You know, and you know, things are getting busy, and I've got Prototype coming, and that's probably like the last big game for a while that I can think of for
Diablo
me.
Diablo 3?
I don't know if I'm going to buy that day one.
Oh, see, that's my problem, is that I'm trying to finish up Mass Effect with it, and I think I'm getting close to the end, because I got to finish that before Max Payne 3 and Diablo 3. May 15th is going to be an expensive day for me.
Is Diablo, is that May?
It's the same.
I thought that was June.
I thought it was May. Yeah, is it same, May? The same damn day as Max Payne 3.
Well, damn.
Oh.
Well, I bought Mass Effect 1 on day 1, Mass Effect 2 on day 1, and then Mass Effect 3 I have not purchased. Just because I didn't really care for the story in Mass Effect 2. So, I don't know. Fair. I may give Mass Effect 3 a try, though.
Well, it's dropping in price quickly, so yeah. I think you might have made a good choice.
I think I just saw it for 40 somewhere.
Yeah, Amazon's got it for 40.
How's the story? Like, you know, would you say the story is better than Mass Effect 2, or...?
It's very dark in comparison to the other two games. I mean, you basically get the feeling right off the bat that, you know, this is not going to be a happy ending game.
The S is going to hit the F.
Yeah, the S is going to hit the F. Mm-hmm.
In 2, I kind of felt like all I was doing was collecting up my teammates.
Yeah, and there's kind of that in the third one.
But
as
I think
well.
They improve upon that, whereas you do it through the story rather than it just being like you know, like this mission of collecting people.
Yeah, like it came up with a mission thing after you collected somebody, and it said, you know, you collected it and so many points.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I really hated that. Yeah,
like,
that they definitely. Yeah, that they definitely fixed. It's in terms of that kind of level structure, it's much more like the first game. Mm-hmm. But
okay,
it's worth playing. I would say, mm-hmm. especially if you play the first two. So.
Have some sort of closure.
Yeah.
Speaking of closure,
we should wrap up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, before, I wanted to say, because you intrigued me slightly, Mr. Sean, that you have to do all this playtesting for indie games. Have you seen anything that you're really digging and you want to let people know about?
Trailer Parking 2 and Trailer Car Parking 1.
Well, obviously.
Yes.
Yes. And our next game, of course. You should definitely want to check that out.
Is that available for people? You said it's in playtest right now.
It's Act 1 is in playtest. Okay. And hopefully it will be out very soon.
Sweet.
So,
and I guess our other question is, do you need voice actors?
We do need voice actors. And I'm not sure. There's a huge cast in this one, so I'm not exactly sure how many we're gonna need. I'm thinking back on some of the indie games that I've played. One of them, I don't know what type of games you guys
you know, or like, I guess. But if you're into like an sort of the adventure type games, mm-hmm. there's a game called Bureau that I played a while back, and I like that game. And I know any of the games by can't remember the name of the company. I'm actually looking it up right now. There's a tower defense game by Milkstone Studios, and a lot of their games are done pretty well. So they've got like little racers and things like that. So definitely want to check those guys out.
So Milkstone Studios and Bureau, which Bureau is a game, and Milkstone Studios, which is a company. So definitely look those up.
Yeah, their last game was called Red Invasion Tower Defense. Right. From Milkstone Studios. Definitely want to check that out.
And Bureau is not out yet?
Bureau is out. Okay. And it's more of a, it's sort of a crime, an FBI crime fighting. You know, it's a little bit like L.A. Noir in a sense, except it doesn't have all the, you know.
Doesn't have, you know, detailed Los Angeles of 1935.
Well, yeah, there's no head grabbing, but you can buy a hot dog.
You do drive in a car, but you know, you don't have to steer or anything like that. It's kind of like the bus idea.
There you go.
Fighting crime on a bus.
That would
I get not. Told they make that game. I don't want anyone to listen because I'm making that game next.
Maybe.
Bus game, I'm making that game.
Crime fighting bus, and then the sequel will be on a roller coaster, you know, so that you don't have to.
But the problem is, though, is that you have to make it Kinect enabled.
Yeah, but if you don't do anything, how would you know?
Well, you move your head. You just
I'm gonna
it with
say,
your Kinect support.
Put a message up on the screen, say Kinect go, and then it will start a few nice. Seconds
no,
later.
You have, to put your
know.
You have to put your hand out to pull the stop bar.
Mm-hmm.
Dink.
Nice. I like that. I just had a brilliant idea, possibly. Kinect-based QuickTime events, but not like hitting a spot, saying words.
Please stop.
Well, yeah, no, something like that. No, I think
somebody's
that'd be awesome.
Mugging you.
Well, yeah, you know, God of War, where you're just yelling Greek at people.
Is this
I think that'd
taken?
Be awesome.
Yes.
Well, look, not everything has to be crime fighting bus related. So, wow, that's just.
But
man,
you know,
do you
but,
need help crossing the streets?
No, to your point, like you know, like. Trying to think of popular abracadabra or something like that, you know, like a catchphrase. Or
yeah,
something like
just something like that. That'd be interesting.
Shazam!
All right. Well,
do you need a name too for our next game because we're not really sure about the name. So if anybody's got any ideas, but it's tentatively called, brace yourself, Cherry Poke Prison.
I really don't see a problem with that.
Yeah,
at all,
I don't. I think that works right there and then. Now I'm really curious.
I think it fits our demographic.
Yeah,
this is a day one purchase now.
I think so.
Cherry
yeah.
Poke Prison
sounds like the worst Sesame Street segment, like gone terribly wrong.
This is what happens, kid. When you don't learn your alphabets,
that's right.
You lead to a life
you,
of crime.
You go to Cherry Poke Prison.
Yeah,
I like it.
And what it's funny because when I name the characters in my games, the female characters, I actually go to Google and look up, you know, basically stripper names.
Google,
that's how we name them.
You've got to type.
Google is an immense amount of research skill right there. Popular stripper names. Brandy with two Y's.
We'll add her in.
All right.
Brandy with
excellent.
Two Y's.
So, aside from Xbox Live, Freelance Games, does that have a website that people can check out your stuff as well?
Yeah, it's just freelancegames.com. So, check it out. And we also have a Facebook page. So,
oh, cool.
Facebook/freelancegames.
Sweet.
And in the Twitter, of course, it's just Freelance Games as
yeah.
well, correct? Yep.
Yeah, at Freelance Games. Actually, I'm pretty active on Twitter, probably mm-hmm. less so on Facebook. So, you know, if you want to chat, send me a message on Twitter.
I'm more amazed that you got the name Freelance Games. Like that hadn't been taken yet.
Well, we had that name for a long time. It's kind of good and bad. It's an easy name to remember. But the word freelance is sort of, you know, there's a lot of freelance this, freelance that. So
yeah, I suppose.
You know, when you do like a search on Freelance Games, you know, if you put a space in there, there's a ton of
there's a ton of things that show up under freelance that are, you know, everything and anything, right? So maybe have to change the name at some point when I'm
maybe
much more successful.
Yes. Trailer Park Games. How about that?
After I make that bus game, I'll probably that'll be the time.
Straight to the top, baby. Yeah,
straight to the top.
Metro Games.
You'll be working on the next Call of Duty before you know it.
Public Transit Games. Huh. I like that.
There you go.
It'll be Call of Duty on a bus, but you're basically sitting there and you're just gonna have your gun beside you. You won't even move.
But you'll be in like on a regular city bus, so it's everyone else looking at you really funny.
Like,
it's like, what do we do with this?
This is like that Russian airport scene all over again.
Except less controversial,
yeah, and
more awkward. But anyway, that's pretty much the show, actually. Less controversial, more awkward.
Now with Russian airports.
That's right. Well, thanks, Sean, for coming on the show, man.
Oh, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and we'll throw links to all your stuff in the show notes so people can find it easily. And as you mentioned, Trailer Park 1 and 2, Trailer Park King 1 and 2, I should say, as well as StarCon are all available on the Xbox Live Indie Market. Yeah, what do those run for?
They're all 80 Microsoft points.
Oh, nice. Yep. So it's a buck.
Yep.
Excellent.
Basically a buck.
$1 in American currency and... whatever it is in Canadian currency at the moment.
Well, they actually changed their points. Like when you buy a card in the U.S., you get so many points, and when you buy a card in Canada, you get so many points. And I it's a different number, and I assume they do the same thing in Europe.
Huh?
Weird.
Yeah, because here it's 16 for $20. Like 1600 for $20.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah,
like
it's 14 here, even though oddly,
even though your currency is about on par with ours now.
Sometimes it's more, and sometimes a little less. So I don't know. Just never seems to when our currency goes up, nothing ever goes down. So I don't know.
Yeah, see, I remember growing up on the border was interesting because, you know, games would be $50 and you go over to border Canada and $80, you know, for a title there.
Yeah, the top price now I believe is $69 for a lot of the new releases, which is pretty expensive.
Again, freelancegames.com. And you can find all their stuff, like I said, on Xbox Live Indie. Not the store. You got to go to the indie store.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the separate section.
The separate section.
Where the cooler games
That's
are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to thank, of course, Ian for coming on the show.
Thank you, thank you. Check out shop.fancypantsgangsters.com to get some cool threads for your body.
Yes. Also, big thanks to Michael.
Yeah, thank you everyone again for listening. And thanks to Sean once again for coming on the show. I know it's been a long time coming. You can also check us out.
Check us.
I know it's. Yeah, I've been influenced now.
Yeah.
You can check us out on the various things on the internet on Facebook. Just look us up, Fancy Pants Gangsters, or Yet Another Gaming Show. You can find us on Twitter at YAGSFPG.
That is true. And I do want a quick mention this week on The Voice Behind for you video game fans out there, which there might be a few of us listening to the show.
I hate video games.
I know you do.
What's a video game?
We're talking with Roger Craig. Shit. Well, I forget what his last name is. I should look that up before we do the interview. It's basically the guy that does the voice of Chris Redfield from Resident Evil, as well as Ezio from Assassin's Creed 2.
Oh, wow.
So it's he's done a few games. And also I found out that he is the voice of the narrator from Say Yes to the Dress, which is really amusing to me that that's also Ezio.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah, I suppose it does. So, yeah, that'll be out probably the same time as this episode. It'll be coming out. We're releasing it a day late because of scheduling fun. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. And thank you for supporting us. Thank you for reviewing us on iTunes and telling your friends about us and all those great ways that you help spread the word about this show and all the Fancy Pants Gangster shows. And on behalf of everyone here, thank you much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Interesting way of naming whores.